how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you will need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Thanks, Fred.
Well, let me take you for a moment to the point where we started our scripture reading this morning in verse 19. Jesus here begins to address the struggle all Christians have to face while living in this world. To put it with a word from the Bible, we have to overcome the world. Or, the world never stops attacking us. Now, to understand the nature of this problem, we could put it as, the world never stops attracting us. See, there is, for all of us, something very attractive in what this world has to offer. It feels so good to be able to spend on luxuries and to have some material comforts and securities in this world. Watch out, says Jesus. Do not store up treasures for yourself on earth, for that is wasting your energy as a Christian. You are called to higher things. Store up treasures in heaven. And that, friends, is a choice we all have to make. What treasure do I seek? What ambition do I foster for my life? Am I prepared to surrender it all to Jesus Christ and his kingdom? That's a tough question. Because we all like to make a kind of compromise between God and money, God and material security. There's no way that you can do it, says Jesus. If money is so important to you, you are into slavery. Keep your freedom and serve God wholeheartedly. Stick to that choice in all circumstances. Now in verse 25, where our text for today begins, Jesus illustrates what the effect is of making the compromise I just mentioned. If your treasure is on earth, you will become a warrior. Allow me to share a common pastoral experience. I often visit people who, humanly speaking, have reason to worry. They lost their work, or they are confronted with a serious health issue, or they have major family problems, etc. And if I share with such people what the scripture says about God being our Father in heaven, who is in control and who cares, so that there is no reason to be anxious about all this, what's happening in their life, many people respond like this. Yes, I know that. I believe that. But it's little comfort in the trouble I find myself in now. I assume you recognize that from your own experience. See, people who do that find an excuse in their character. That's just how I am. I happen to be a warrior by nature. And I've always been like that. And I assume that will be as long as we live in this world. But friends, I fear it is much worse than a character trait or a personal weakness. See, Jesus doesn't give you helpful advice for those who can do it, but he gives a command. Do not worry about your life. And this command, you either obey or disobey. You either believe what Jesus says and act upon it, or you don't. And then you live in unbelief. And that's at stake here. Our theme is faith drives out fear. Our text commences with the word therefore. And that's a very important word, because it means that Jesus is reasoning here. He's actually drawing a conclusion from what he said before. So he says, now use your mind and think. And in short, it comes down to this. If you have radically chosen to serve God, there is no way that you can worry. In other words, if you do worry, you have to ask yourself, do I really believe that I have a Father in heaven? Use your mind and think for yourself. Now, Jesus mentioned here three things that we are not to worry about. That's your life, your food, and your clothing. Now, that doesn't mean that you can be careless about these things. You have to look after your body. You have to make sure that you have access to food. Save up for being able to replace your garments, etc. That's what we are all supposed to do. But what Jesus forbids is that we are anxious about it. There is no point in being anxious about your life, for instance. And it makes a lot of sense, actually. Have a look at verse 27. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Just think about that. Friends, when did you start your life? You don't even remember. At a certain moment, you were just there. And you had no choice in it whatsoever. You didn't decide on the date of your birth. You had no control over what gender you were going to be, what you prefer. You had no say in who your parents are going to be. That was all organized for you without any input from you. And by whom was that organized? By God. Who made you grow 3-4 times your birth length? Did you have any control over that? No, you hadn't. And nobody had. It was God who did it. He holds your life in his hands, from the cradle to the grave. Now, becoming a warrior may perhaps shorten your life, but it certainly can't lengthen it by an hour. That is fully in God's hand, and you better entrust your life to him. Give away control to him and do it wholeheartedly, because the reality is there anyway. He is in control. The only problem is you have to give that control away because you think, oh, I'll hold on to this, because my life is so precious to me. Trust God, because with him your life is absolutely safe. And don't allow anxiety or fear to control your life, because fear is unbelief. Fear is the tool of the devil. Remember what Jesus said to his disciples when they were dead scared. Was there worrying? They were dead scared that would all drown in the lake of Galilee, Jesus included. You know, when that massive squall suddenly came. And when Jesus woke up, he said, friends, where was your faith? It's a good question. They never thought about that. I believe the disciples had faith in Jesus at a time, but they did not exercise it. They didn't apply it to the circumstances they found themselves in at that very moment. They didn't think. They just panicked. They listened to their emotions instead of talking to their emotions. Think of it, how often you do that. Listen to your feelings instead of talking to your feelings. I shouldn't have those feelings because my life is in control, my God. See, if you always listen to your emotions instead of talking to them, you end up becoming an emotional wreck. Now, in our text, Jesus gives a beautiful example. He said, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Oh, sure, they are running around to find their food, but they do find it, all right. As I was preparing my sermon, I can just see a corner of my roof where a couple of starlings have made their nest under the roof tin. I suppose at the moment there are 4 or 5 young ones, guessing by the noise they make. But every 5 minutes, mum or dad starling comes in with a beak full of insects and worms. And it's obvious to me that God provides for them, because God has made sure that in spring, when there are a lot of young birds to be fed, that there is an explosion of insects and caterpillars and worms everywhere around. And I'm sure these birds have never worried about how they are going to feed their young ones when the eggs come out. They just trust and work hard. Look at them, said Jesus. If God provides for little birds, what do you think your heavenly Father will do about you? You've become his child through Jesus Christ. The Father and the Son together went through the horrible pain of the cross to make that possible, that you would become a child of God, that you would have the right to call him your father and mother. Now, if you have a father like that, of course, he will take care that you are provided for. And that means that if you are ever worrying about your life, about your food, or about your clothing, you hurt your Father in heaven, who has promised to provide those very things. Now, Jesus uses a second example to hammer the point home. Why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor nor spin. And yet, even Solomon in all his splendor couldn't hold a candle to them. See, the lilies of the field are even less than the birds, who have to collect their food themselves. Huh? And the birds are standing there, they can't do nothing about it, and they are still sustained by God. Now, if God does that with the flowers and with the grass of the field that tomorrow will be thrown in the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? It's exactly the same logic as in the first example. Yeah? If God looks after the birds, he will certainly look after you. If he looks after the flower, he will certainly look after you. But now Jesus adds, or he exposes actually, our problem. O you of little faith. That is the cause of your problem. The inadequacy of our faith. Now don't forget that Jesus is addressing here the same people as in the Beatitudes. We are still working in the Sermon on the Mount. So he is actually talking about the poor in spirit, who are the heirs of the kingdom of heaven. So they have faith. That's what's assumed here. These people who listen to this and try to apply this, they have faith. They are saved by entrusting their life to Jesus Christ, and so they have become children of a heavenly Father. Let's keep that in mind. So Jesus is not just speaking here in general to all the people of the world. He is exclusively addressing Christians, God's children. Because people who do not believe in Jesus Christ, they don't have a Father in heaven. As simple as that. They are only, as the Bible says, under the wrath of God. And unless they repent and believe, they are on their way to hell, to eternal destruction. So that's the question that first needed to be sorted out by each one of us. Have we truly placed our faith in Jesus Christ as our only Saviour? And if you haven't, or if you don't want to, then listening to the sermon must be a boring exercise, because it's not about you. So Jesus addresses people who have repented of their sins, who have received the Holy Spirit, and have started the new life in Christ. And of such people, Jesus said, "O you of little faith." What you have to do is put your faith into practice. Because now you're actually doing nothing with it. You have perhaps reserved faith as a kind of life insurance for after you die, you like to go to heaven. But for now, your faith is totally unproductive for everyday life. Instead of being thankful, you think it's okay to complain. Well, it's not. Instead of being joyful, you think it's just natural to worry. Well, it's not. Worry is not a weakness, it is a sin. A sin that needs to be addressed and repented from now. Don't say, "Oh, but I have reason to worry, and that's why my face is downcast." Well, we have all reason to worry. If we look at how this world is developing, if we see how Christian values are hollowed out more and more, how lots of people, including those in government, work hard to remove everything from our society and legal system that reminds of Christian influences, our children will live in a different world than ours. Christians will become a minority, for a time still tolerated, but after that persecuted for what they stand for. Do we have reason to worry? Heaps of reason. But do we worry? Not at all. Why not? Because the Almighty God is in charge of this world. And this Almighty God is the same one as our Heavenly Father, who cares for birds and lilies and much more for his own children. He has a plan to bring each and every one of them safely to the new earth. And don't you worry, he'll get them there. Not one of his children will miss out. So what's the problem of people having little faith? And I think Jesus points out the problem is they simply do not think. And Jesus gives you an absolutely reasonable argument. If you believe that God created this world, if you believe that he became your Father through Jesus Christ, the inevitable conclusion must be that he is personally interested in you and that he personally cares for you. So if you keep worrying about all sorts of things, you either have no faith in God at all, or you have never thought through what Jesus is saying here. One of the two. I know what's going on in your mind when you're worrying in the middle of the night. You're just going around in circles and circles. You're controlled by fear about what might go wrong. I mean, we think we're thinking, but that's not thinking. Thinking is always productive. And by all means, do some real thinking. If you have problems, think out what you're going to say or what you're going to do. And then think of the Lord's promises and decide to believe them and go back to sleep. It might be the next day when the light returns that your problem is not as bad as what you thought. It might also be that it becomes 3 times worse than what you feared. But you cannot change any of that by worrying about it. It is wasted energy. It is lack of understanding of whom your Father really is. Every experience in your life, the good ones and the bad ones, are actually carefully designed by God to make you the person he wants you to be, including your troubles. That's why he gives you troubles, and you need them. If you think, or if you in reality would go through life without ever having any trouble, you're just doing well at school, and you find at the right time a partner in life, and you have a family and children, all goes well, and the children are brilliant kids and wonderful, no problems at all. How do you think you can prove that you are a Christian? That you believe that God's in control of your life? That you believe that troubles make you grow in Christ? Because that's what the Bible says. He'll prune you to make you grow. And you know that. And God makes sure that every child of him will be pruned one way or another. You have to realize you are God's precious child. Just believe what Jesus says. My Father is your Father. And do you realize that if you worry about food, about life, about clothing, that you behave like a pagan, an unbeliever? That's what Jesus said. See, unbelievers have their lifestyle magazines about health and food and clothing. That's about it. Bit of gossip added to it. Because for them, that is what life is all about. And they run after these things in their rat race, thinking you only live once. Make the most of it for yourself. Well, that's the highest wisdom unbelievers can produce. It makes sense, though, from their perspective. If your only interest is this life, and if you believe it will only about this life and this world, well, go and enjoy it to the most. That is consistent with their faith. The lack of faith in God or whatever. Yeah? So how can Christians be so inconsistent then? By worrying about their life and their food and their clothing. Haven't we been called out of the darkness into the light? Haven't we become new people? Very different from our environment? Salt of the earth? Well, be then what you are. Seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. It's as simple as that. What do you seek? Do you seek earthly treasures? Then you're in for the slavery of worry about the objects of your interest. Or do you seek the kingdom of God and its righteousness? Then you have the right priority in your life. And it will never disappoint you. The kingdom of God, if that's your passion, you like to see people converted. That people would enter into the kingdom of heaven with great joy and great relief after all their previous worries. And the righteousness of the kingdom, that's the beginning of the kingdom of justice and peace that one day will reign over the whole earth. See, a Christian is now already concerned about righteousness in the world. He stands up for justice. He hates war and is prepared to go any length to make peace. And at the same time, he knows he can work on it, but he will not achieve it in this world. And he keeps looking forward to the completion of the kingdom of God when the Lord Jesus returns. What a day that will be. When or if we have been seeking the kingdom of God and its righteousness indeed. Because that day, all the injustice of the world will be finished and full righteousness restored. Now, to wind it all up, Jesus repeats the message once more and he extends it a little bit. Therefore, yeah, here's another element of his reasoning. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Now, why don't you have to worry about tomorrow? I can think of at least three reasons. One, as a Christian, you shouldn't worry anyway. And two, you don't even know whether there will be a tomorrow for you, another day. And three, God only gives you what you need to cope with your troubles for today. Because tomorrow, there will be new mercies available. That's God's promise. And therefore we are not to worry about tomorrow. And just say, each day has enough trouble of its own. So let's not make the mistake to assume that a Christian will never face troubles in his life. He will. Perhaps even more than non-Christians. Now, they have, for starters, not to go through the pain of persecution or rejection because of their faith. So we will have troubles. Sometimes more than we think we can handle. And it's good for us. If we think we can handle our problems, we still don't need God. We still don't need Jesus. But if God brings problems in our heart, that we have to throw up our hands, well, I don't know anymore what to do about this. Yeah? That is where we go on our knees and say, Lord, if you don't help me,